Have you been injured at work and need help getting the benefits you deserve? Call me, attorney Steve Marte, at 312-312-HURT for a free consultation. That's 312-312-HURT. I will personally handle your claim from start to finish. Call me, Steve Marte, today.
All right. We thanked everybody, right? Thanks to all the listeners for calling and participating. We had some fun today. A lot of calls were kind of sprayed to all fields.
Yeah, we did. It's one of my favorite types of shows.
I know. Like some sports stuff, some not sports stuff.
Look, a little Pimlico. We were talking about the Preakness.
It was fun.
We thought potentially Yurko had another kid.
Yeah, we thought maybe somebody was calling up to find out if Yurko was their dad. But instead, he was
the father, the sire.
Looking for some clues.
Of the said individual was on my Eastern Illinois football team.
Did you guys hear that? Kid called up and said, "Listen, I know this
young
is
man
odd.
Now. Young man now.
The way he started it, he goes, "Look, I was born in 1989. He's from Charleston. My mom, I don't know my
grew
dad. My mom never told me, but all she would say was he played football." And I'm like, "Dude, is Yurko? Are we finding out in the air?" But he wanted to know if Yurko knew the teammate. All he knows is he was tall. He has a Superman tattoo on his arm. And what else did he say?
Black.
And he's black. He said that's all he knows. He goes, "That's all my mom would ever tell me. Yurko, do you know who it is?" And he said, "I got to start thinking."
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't, you know, trying the to guy's had tattoos. I'm trying to, you know, was it on his chest? Was it on his arm? Was it on his back? Where was it? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. It was, I said, all these years taking calls, I've never had this one. And I thought he was going to be like, "Yurko, are you my dad?"
No, we know that. We know that's impossible because Yurko didn't get laid in college.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
He's admitted that.
I did not break my maiden until I was out of college. Thank you, Sylvie, for bringing that up as loudly as you do and so proudly.
Always
fun.
Misery loves company, York.
No wonder Cap doesn't want to work. That only makes sense.
I saw recently the photos of a young Sylvie.
Oh my God.
On Twitter, so there's no doubt he was. He was laying him down,
he was waiting to break his maiden
down
too.
I was thinking he was
the generosity of women.
I was thinking you were fighting him off with a stick based on the photo. Yeah.
With that structure shirt on, I
structure
love it.
Shirt,
I
jean love shorts it. Rolled up. Awesome. So, I mean, this is what happens when there's a 4-hour Sox game. So I'm obviously I've got the attention on the White Sox, but I was anticipating talking about. On the air about all this stuff. So now I've got extra free time. The game's going forever. So then I found a picture with GN celebrating its 100-year anniversary. So I found a picture of me at the NBA Finals in Seattle. Awesome. And in that same batch of pictures.
Chunky.
What was that?
Chunky.
You thought he was chunky?
Oh, yeah. So he's a little chunky.
A little thick in the neck, yeah.
Saw that one, yeah. A little chunky.
And so, in the same batch I had... I found 1993,
amazing.
Right after I had graduated, about to clean up the old Lewis Park apartment, four bedrooms, two bathrooms.
Oh, that's nice.
A little townhouse, yeah. I think it was $875 a month for four of us, split four ways. Not a bad spot.
Not bad.
But I had, and I tweeted it out if you haven't seen the picture, the John Paxson life-size poster with a mustache.
Yes.
There it is right there.
Oh, my God.
Look at the lamp with the plastic on it.
Look at the jean shorts.
The jean shorts rolled up.
Awesome.
The Guatemalan belt, the woven belt.
Yeah.
You know, the dangling, you know, it was dangling.
We all had
over.
That. You had to tie it right in here.
Rolled up.
You know, just, and Gene Greco's been having a field day with us today, talking about how I had no shot to get laid.
No
shot. John Paxson.
Can you imagine a
John Paxson mustache?
This is your college dorm?
This is the family room. Now everyone's saying, where are the bikini pictures? Well, back in the
90s. All it is pictures of the Bulls.
Well, it's got to be presentable in the family room. I had stuff upstairs.
Repeatables,
Super Bowl,
Paxson.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Look at the Paxson.
Did you send that to him?
No, I don't know if Pax would get a text from me these days.
Yeah,
how he would take to it.
That's true. I don't know. I think he'd like that. I think he'd get a kick out of it.
I think I showed it. I still have that poster, but I saved all this stuff.
Amazing.
What were you going to say, Mellor?
Why did the family room have to be presentable? You were in college.
Yeah, there's no.
Well, I mean, it was sports was our thing, though.
It's so great. I had pictures of Paulina Poroskova on the walls. So,
in the bedroom.
I had plenty, too.
I had
plenty of that stuff. Plenty of bowls. I had all that junk, too.
Mellor, you don't have the bikini pictures up in the first room you walk into, do you?
I think it depends on what kind of roommates you had.
When I was in high school still, you know, like I thought I was so cool. I had them all above my ceiling, above my bed. So I had like,
I bet you did.
Oh yes, I did.
I bet you did.
Oh, Sean Paulie, Kemp.
There, no. That's where all the supermodels.
You know, he was a Gary Payton guy.
Yeah, I like Gary Payton.
Al McPherson.
Kathy Ireland. Oh, Paulina Poroskova. Oh, I had them all above my on the ceiling above my bed. What a tool.
Well, yes. Can you imagine you didn't have Ginger Lynn up there?
No.
What a shame.
Ginger Lynn. I mean, come on. I was still in high school.
I mean,
Ginger Lynn was a porn star.
Ceiling was too far up for
adult
that.
Film. Adult Why film. Why so
no.
negative?
No, they were all the superstars. Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
They were all like in a collage on my ceiling.
What was the purpose of having them on the ceiling?
Who knows?
That's what I'm saying when he's laying in bed.
I was 13, 14. What do I know?
I mean, what do you mean?
God only knows.
I guess.
Isn't that the reason?
Isn't that the reason why
people have posters on the ceiling?
I think Kira Ketter.
I never put a poster on the ceiling.
I've never had
a poster on the ceiling either.
They're all up there.
Do you guys remember this poster? This was a very popular one.
I hope you had good aim.
in the younger days.
Oh, sure.
We got to make sure this isn't unhinged.
It's not unhinged.
Yeah, do you remember? This was a very...
That's how they created stucco, by the way.
For the late 80s, 90s crowd, this was very popular around Southern Illinois. It was a pickup truck full of women in bikinis, thong bikinis.
Yeah, do you remember that one?
I do remember it. Like shot with
I do remember this. Back then, too, you got to remember, like, the beer companies used, like, gratuitous sex ads. Yeah. Like, it was girls in bikinis constantly. That's all you had.
I believe John Daly went to recreate that with his Hooters photo yesterday.
Yeah, I think he did.
What a day he had.
What a day. How about it, John Daly? My God.
We were asking, what's the most healthiest of? Is it the Diet Cokes or the 19 or 20 cigarettes?
What's worse, 12 Diet Cokes or 21 cigarettes?
Probably the 12 Diet Cokes, honestly.
That was my thought. I mean, I know 21 cigarettes is terrible.
Oh, it's about a pack, a little bit more.
But the 12 Diet Cokes.
He doesn't drink any water. That's a problem, too.
Yeah, you think? And then like six bags of peanut M&M's.
Agua's is important.
He's on the Merkin diet, really. Without the Merk, you don't smoke, right?
Never had a cigarette.
But you would go for 12 Diet Cokes and lots of peanut M&M's.
No. I don't drink that much soda. I don't drink that much soda.
Yeah, I never see Merkin.
You don't have a nut allergy, do you?
I don't. My son does, but I don't.
All right.
But I've met John Daly. He's such a fun. I met him at the Benny's in Highland Park. He was doing... After he just said he was an alcoholic, he was doing a thing for like his
that
bourbon.
1996?
It may have been a bourbon car.
Doesn't he have one? I don't think he's got a bourbon.
Okay.
He's got the alcoholic version of an Arnold Palmer.
Okay, maybe that's what it was.
John Daly, with iced tea and lemonade.
Yes.
That's I've ordered that about. Several times.
You know, his troubles, they didn't begin there, but they were finished there in beautiful Jacksonville. Sloppy Joe's.
You told the story.
My man Tommy McManus was on the scene.
Yeah.
I remember. How does it go?
And Fuzzy Zeller tried to save him from there. Got home too late, missed his tea time the next morning. It was the Players' Championship. Back when the Players was held in March, he was having too good of a time at Sloppy Joe's. They had an incident and accidents out in the parking lot. The wife was called a slew of names. It wasn't good.
That was really like in his hard partying days, too, wasn't it? That was like prime John Daly's going off the rails.
March of 97.
He told us the story when he was in town once. Yeah. He was in studio and Tommy was telling about that night because he was there. Pretty wild.
I was supposed to go to Palatka, Florida and play in a charity event on the Monday after.
Yeah.
We're all going down there. A bunch of Jags are going to go down there. We're going to play in the big John Daly event. He was in our locker room during the week. Never happened because if John wasn't going to be there, who else is going to be there?
Right. Yep. Went off the rails.
They went sideways real quick.
So you teased us earlier.
We dropped a new Crosstalk Unhinged today. Yeah. Download that after our local day is over, and you can... listen this weekend to original, uncensored, uninterrupted fun. Waddle's taking a day today. He's flying back. We mentioned that. He gave a great eulogy in Waddle's World. We'll play you a couple of good stories that he told about Gino Cappelletti, his father-in-law, Cara's dad, grandfather to, like, I think 12 grandkids.
Wow.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Amazing,
man.
Yeah.
So anyway, Waddle wasn't with us. And obviously the talk of the station and the people who listen often have been very, very wowed by the spring trading concept. They've loved it. They've they loved Hoodie and Yurk this week. Carm, the two of us back together,
was so
that
much
was
fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hoodie and I did a great show. I thought we won week one. From 2 to 6.
You won week one.
I think we won week one.
You're going black from that stage.
That was very good, too. I love that.
It wasn't very good. It was exceptional.
Sylvie gave us
easily the winners of week one.
He gave us a 5 out of 5. I'm like, all right, I like Sylvie's grading. It's good. It's really good.
The creativity, we could have been better creativity. Black quizzed me on all that. But the word, I haven't seen him. Since the drawing, and I have heard through numerous sources that Cap is not happy with the pairing.
Right.
That he does not want to do a show with me. He he's already on Twitter creating ground rules. Did you see this?
I have not seen any ground rules on Twitter. I have not. Let me go there. I'm going to go there right now.
RJ Curcio, our house lawyer for the Waddle and Sylvie show, we have him on retainer in case anything happens.
In case.
He's fantastic, and he's a big fan of the radio station,
huge.
RJ. Of all the shows,
he
Equal
is.
Opportunity. RJ said after what happened with Abdallah and Cap that wherever Abdallah had him in a corner in a sports debate, Cap would just throw it to the phone lines instead of like trying to fight his way out of the corner.
Let's go to
the phones. And then he would pick the one out of the 8 callers who agreed with him.
Right.
And there would be 7 callers on the line who would agree with Abdallah.
Right.
So RJ's point was you got to let Sylvie drive because so. Cap can't pull that.
Fair and balanced.
Well, Cap responded back. And RJ tweeted to all of us. So
We're
all on this tweet. It's all. And then when Cap responded, he left every name in the response back to the tweet, except for me and Danny Zetterman.
How about that?
He took our names off the response.
You believe it?
And he wrote, Sparkles, not on our time slot. He's not driving, or something to that effect.
Here we go. Name now. It's on Sparkles.
Already, now it's Sparkles.
He's firing it out there. I don't think so. Sparkles.
What's Kaplan's Twitter handle? I mean,
the Catman. At the Catman.
The Catman.
Just a hashtag. Take that. A lot of the tweets will come up.
Right. I suggested that they just kind of alternate, like a road trip. Maybe Cap starts out the trip driving.
Oh, he's not letting Sylvie drive. You know he's not.
In the second hour. Bathroom break. Cap steps to the side. He hops in the shotgun. Let Sylvie drive for an hour.
I don't know.
And
it's
going
to be fireworks.
It's going to be must listen to. I'll tell you that.
It's going to be two guys talking sports. Now, this is like people say to me or like Cap wonders. And like, I love the guy has got a.
I'd want to hear from
nice
him.
Guy,
I'm hearing
nice
from Sylvie
guy.
Now. I've got to hear from him.
You've got Cap on mute. That's why.
No, well done. This is the type of thing that I bring up that he gets mad at.
Right.
He gets mad at this, but again, he sets himself up for this.
It's like the Schwarber stuff from earlier in the week, right?
And this is exactly what this is. So this is the point that he brought up early in the week.
Because you don't suck if you make the big leagues. You may play sucky in the big leagues, but there's a difference. To get to the big leagues, like that's one of the things that drive me crazy about fans that say, that guy sucks. He actually doesn't. He's in the pros.
Yeah.
You got to be amazing to get to the pros.
This is today.
That guy sucked as an NFL quarterback. Byron Leftwich, he was horrible as an NFL quarterback.
Now, Meller thinks he used the disclaimer by saying NFL quarterback to evade his rule, but doesn't that go without saying?
What do you mean? The rule only pertains to MLB players?
Well,
no.
What do you mean? So
Cap did say there, that guy sucked. He sucked as an NFL quarterback. So adding the qualifier as an NFL quarterback, I think that's where Cap...
He was scolding listeners for calling in and saying, you can't say Vucevic sucks. You know? Because he made the pros. He's really, really good. Like, that's his point. But I've heard him numerous times call out guys, Jay Cutler, others, who said he sucked. And he'll say he sucked. And then 3 days later, here he is.
That guy sucked as an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Byron Leftwich, he was horrible as an NFL quarterback.
I don't know. I don't know what in his mind, like, how he rationalizes these things. I don't know.
How does that happen? Does he listen to his own takes? I know he doesn't listen to Hoodie's takes.
No.
Does he listen to his own takes?
I don't know.
Listen, this is why.
We're all building up to next Wednesday.
Must listen to 7 to 10. It is going to be, you know, I was telling Sylvie yesterday, Carm, it reminds me, or at least in my head, HBO had a series called In Treatment, where it was all about it was therapy, just the therapist and then the client patient. On the couch, the patient on the couch, and that's what these next 3 hours are going to be on Wednesday morning.
Oh, it's going to be glorious!
That or an all out brouhaha.
The photo?
Yes, that's the one from Seattle.
Oh, that's the thick one.
Let the build up continue. Yes.
Look at that vest. Look at that vest.
It's
through the years, I've wanted to be a vest guy.
Yeah,
can't pull it off. No, I can't. I know. There was a Christmas party recently from the station that I tried to pull it off again.
In recent vintage,
I wore a vest.
It's a vest.
And I can't do it.
You know, that style will probably come back at some point. Though,
I wouldn't throw it away. I would not throw that
away.
That's from 1995.
I would.
That was in the 96 NBA Finals.
Did you have an ear job or something? Did you get those taxi cab doors taken back?
Yes.
I'm asking.
You've exposed me.
I'm asking.
I've hid this for years, Yerk.
Did you pin them back? Is that what happened?
No.
They're just prodigious here. They're not usually. I look at you now. I don't see this.
I thought for sure.
I don't see this when I look at you now.
I think you grew.
Which is odd because actually, your features, your nose and your ears actually get larger as you age.
Oh my God.
So that's weird because they do. Those are the two features that get larger as you age.
What?
On your face.
Especially if you drink.
Your nose and your scotch nose.
You know, this picture is.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfair. What a cool thing. Take a look at older people,
and if you notice, their noses and their ears are huge. It's because those continue growing throughout your life.
That's crazy.
Your face does not.
How did we evolve like this?
I mean, what's the alternative? Not aging.
No, I mean, there could have been a better use for having things grow as you got older, for crying out loud.
Really?
I mean, geez.
Really? I don't know if it would be better to have a bigger something-something as
not?
You get older.
Oh,
well,
man.
I think there's, I mean, I guess, how long are you going to be chewing on blue chew?
At some point, you can't use it. Doesn't make a difference. You know?
Yeah, that's the point.
I don't know about that.
At some point, it becomes an appendix.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just useless.
Yes.
Yeah. No,
I disagree. What do they call that? The bell curve? That's what I'd like to have it like that.
Listen, guys, if I'm 80 years old and I'm still slinging beef, good for me. Okay?
Slinging beef?
Good for me if that's happening. There's so much thunder sticking going on by Yurko's place. I'm figuring at the point when I'm 80, I'm just going to be happy to get up and breathe.
I don't know, you guys. I disagree with that. I don't want it. I don't know. Maybe I'm delusional.
I'm pretty delusional. I'm a non-smoker, so I give myself a chance.
Yeah.
I think 80's pushing it, though.
But if you live a healthy lifestyle,
it's the ticker.
Is the libido going to be completely gone?
How much of the fat is choking me off right now, you know? I'm really going to have to go get some cleaning. I figure by the time I need it, they're going to be able to clean the plaque out of everywhere, you know? That's what I keep waiting for. But they don't want you. Listen, you know the medical profession. They don't want you to clean the plaque out. They want you dead.
Who does? My doctor wants me dead.
The government.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
The government might
want you
dead. The
government wants you gone. If they didn't get rid of 50% now, they'd be happy.
That's probably true.
Come on. Who are we calling? Nobody. What's up?
How do we eradicate half of them?
Yeah, Mets, I got you, brother. Yeah, looking sharp.
Yeah.
Guy wearing a Mets jersey.
It's a stretch to figure out he's a Mets fan. He's got a Mets jersey.
Yeah, he must not have heard the Max Scherzer news.
He's down, right?
Six to eight weeks.
What about... Not good for a 37-year-old.
Oblique. It's never great.
Obliques are tough. Right here, your obliques.
Yeah.
For pitchers.
If I took my shirt off, you'd really be able to see them. Underneath all the padding.
That's why you never strain the oblique. Yurko's good.
That's right.
Yurko, you're priceless, man.
All right, so what we got?
What do you guys got? What's lined up for today?
The masses,
how are we going to entertain everybody on the way
home? Bears talk, as usual,
right?
Because this was an OTA week we've not been on.
I know.
And the Justin Fields, whether or not they supported Justin Fields enough, continues to be a topic.
Did you?
The hot takes on each side. On each side of this, like, people are drawing their line in the sand, and they're adamant that
they either screwed him, or
the Bears
got
now,
a great master plan.
All of a sudden, the Bears have the keys to the master plan.
After all the years of dysfunction, they
have finally figured it out with these guys.
Yeah, I know what
you mean. They know now, like, why would you give it? I give them the benefit of the doubt to a certain point, but I also don't go the other way thinking, oh, they're going to be God's gift.
Of course. I don't know how you can. I mean, that's insanity. There's nothing in their track record that would tell you that. I know you saw the Football Outsiders thing early in the week. I mean, who is that? Who wrote that?
That was...
Who wrote that at Football Outsiders?
What's his name?
I can't think of his name.
Mike Tannier.
I mean, he eviscerated the Bears.
Yes.
He
did. I mean, yeah. He completely eviscerated. We didn't call him. Did you see his tweet to me?
No, I didn't. I love Mike Tannier.
He said, have you lost my number? I never have had his number. I don't think we've ever had him on our show.
We've never had Mike Tannier on either.
Have you had him on your show? I've had Mike on at nights before, so it's, you know, he may be.
Yeah. He's a daytime guy. That's what he's telling you.
He goes
drive time. He doesn't even want to come on our show.
He goes either
morning or afternoon drive time. That's when I want to come on. I'm Mike Tannier.
Now, I was referencing him because I wanted to give proper accreditation.
Of course.
Hey, here's Mike Tannier's article. We're talking about it. You want to follow along? Yeah. And then he responded. He goes, what, did you lose my number?
I love it. But it was good. Like it's.
Yeah,
but
what's going on with like, you, Shelby?
There's the two passionate sides is right. I know we don't put much credence in the stuff that who's the guy at CBS Sports that we always
Lockenfora.
Yeah. Lockenfora. I mean, he's another one who was sports in the Bears.
Did you see his latest report?
I don't know.
I read a story from earlier in the week.
To believe or not to believe?
To believe or and that I'm calling him question. Lockenfora.
Okay,
because he can't ever get a story right with the Bears.
That's a good point.
So have people called him Lockenfora?
I don't know.
I think that's a new good nickname.
That's pretty funny.
All right, Miller. My niece, don't take your shirt off. Thanks, Angel.
Real nice.
Well, it's good that she's supporting Crosstalk.
Yeah. Can't wait for her birthday to come up.
Savannah.
Lump of coal.
I think she's protecting the family right there. She's just looking out for Uncle Good Kid.
You know what?
Remember the picture I have of you?
The cap's not going to have to take care of you.
Remember the picture I have?
The Good Kid might.
Of you
right here, right now.
In Philly in 2010. In the Target parking lot where you're going to change shirts.
I had to put a purple shirt on.
It was awesome.
Couldn't find a triple for the life of us. I got a side man boob that is a legendary.
So this
I mean, you could see him here. You know what I'm saying? I got Bill Parcells' ex-boobs.
Is that the back or the front?
Oh, yeah, that's the body.
Hold it up to Twitch.
That's the body right there.
That's in a Target parking lot in Philadelphia.
Yeah, put it up there to Twitch.
Did Harry get almost into a fight on that trip?
Yeah.
No.
Well, somebody was that trip?
Somebody was
going. Oh, yeah, that was, yeah.
With a Hawks jersey. Kept touching his Hawks jersey. Yeah.
What happened was we were in the bar at Veterans Stadium, or whatever the new Veterans Stadium is, right?
Citizens.
We're there. Yeah. Two guys from the Jersey Shore and a couple of their little strumpets were with them, and they were getting mouthy.
They were.
GTL, Jim Tan Laundry.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were
pretending
like they're connected. We were there, and the guy was getting mouthy. He kept touching Harry, and Harry's like that.
He grabbed onto his jacket.
There were three undercover cops that were right next to us, but they weren't from Philly. They were from someplace else.
Toronto.
But they were there.
They were from Toronto.
They took care of it.
But
they helped. They were like, hey, we don't
want that. They were ready in case something was going to happen.
In case we had a spring to
action. I just went over, and I said, Tiny, why don't you kind of get over here? Gentlemen.
Philly fans are the worst.
Good to see you. Time to get back to the shore, guys.
Except for Philly Sid. I like Philly Sid. The rest of them, keep them.
One guy looked like the situation.
They were very Jersey Shore, all juiced to the gill too.
Yeah.
All juiced up.
If you hit them with a pin, they would have blown away.
Yeah,
That's how inflated
they looked. Orange too. Yeah. They were all orange.
Oh yeah, we got a break. We're gonna get out. So we'll tell you what is Jason Lockenfora hearing from the Bears, and then we will say do we believe him or not.
All right,
and we'll get into this Bears conversation next.
All right, why don't Sylvie get you home next? Everybody have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Happy Friday to everybody. Made it to the weekend. Waddle is out today. He'll be back on Monday. We have a more regular week next week. I don't think we're preempted at all for White Sox baseball. Tyler, do I have that right where all shows are on?
Let me take a look at that right now.
I usually look a week at a time, and I seem to remember looking ahead Tuesday or Wednesday and seeing next week as a full week, which is good.
Next week, yeah, we saw the Monday they're off. They have the Red Sox with three night games, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then off on Friday before the Saturday-Sunday Crosstown Classic with the Cubs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, two off days next week for the White Sox.
And then the games that are not at night are the normal 7-10 time, so it's not like they're cutting us off early.
Full ride
so
next week.
Next week we've got a full ride. It's been a weird week this week with a doubleheader on Tuesday, a four-hour game Thursday.
If I may, Sylvie, I thought yesterday was your best show of the week.
4 minutes. I usually can give a good 4 minutes. If I'm lucky, I don't know how good it was. But yes, we gave the people 4 minutes of Waddle and Sylvie yesterday.
Most people, if asked 4 minutes versus 4 hours, they'll give you 4 good minutes every day.
Right, absolutely. I think that's the way you'd want it. So Meller's in for Waddle. Waddle will be back on Monday. He's traveling back from Boston. In Waddle's world, I'll play a couple pieces from his eulogy, which was outstanding. Just like you know Waddle can do, except for ice cream and like that promo that's and his badness in dessert. He's good at everything. He represented that family so well. He gave such a good look at who Gino Cappelletti was to him and his family and what he stood for and what he was all about. If you missed it, it was the funeral was online yesterday. I watched a ton of it. And you know, he'll be back on Monday. So we're thinking about the entire Cappelletti Waddle family. And obviously, Gino lived a great, great life.
And he shared a lot of great stories, as you mentioned, about Gino Cappelletti. But what you'll hear in some of the clips, too, I think a lot of people will be able to relate, not just because it's not just Gino, but anybody who has had a father or a father figure who has shown them what it's like to maybe truly love their spouse and set that example. I think Waddle did a really great job of encapsulating that. And, you know, even though I never met Gino Cappelletti, I'm sure plenty of people out there have had someone in their life like that. And so it was a really great job. No doubt, like you said, Waddle great at everything he does.
Yeah. So we'll play that in Waddle's world. Here is what Lock and Fora wrote. Did you find this? Was this?
Yeah, I saw this earlier today.
So this is the headline, and then you can read the part about the Bears. He basically goes around the league, and it's an NFL insider notebook predicting likely outcomes for contract situations of Kyler Murray, Aaron Donald, and more. And then at the end of each summary with each person, he then gives a likely outcome.
So, and this should come as no surprise to Bears fans, but he mentioned for the Bears, Robert Quinn. I continue to hear that Quinn wants out of Chicago, and who could blame him? And there are a host of interested teams. Bears brass has told everyone he ain't going anywhere, but they will keep asking, and that's not lost on the veteran defensive end. The Bears look hapless. They dealt fellow veteran pass rushers Khalil Mack already, and Akeem Hicks doesn't seem likely at all to be back. Team is in transition under new management. Quinn is coming off a monster season with 8.5 sacks. He just turned 32 and wants to win. And he's also an absolute steal this season at $13 million. If he gets dealt, the next team would likely sweeten the pot with incentives, if nothing else. If the Bears are as bad as I expect, this will only fester, and he could be the prize of the trade deadline market, if nothing else. Fetching more than Von Miller a year ago, I believe. Likely outcome, trade.
This is interesting, and I think like the Lock and Four, as I've mentioned, if there's one person who I don't trust with their sources on the NFL insiders, especially with the Bears, it's like Nightingale for baseball, and it's Lock and Fora with the Bears. When Lock and Fora,
yeah,
I'd rather trust Nightingale, I think, with the Bears than Lock and Fora. But like, usually it's wrong.
So, and it's almost the inverse. Bob Nightingale seems to be wrong about everything baseball except for the White Sox.
Or Tony La Russa. I think it now is shrunk to just...
Is it just La Russa?
White Sox-related stuff involving Tony La Russa.
Or is it Jerry Reinsdorf decisions as well?
That's true. Yeah.
So okay. But whereas La Canfora can be right at times, he's always wrong when it comes to the Bears, at least in all his past reporting, it seems like.
Yeah, and like, there's a lot here that obviously you would think to be true. Robert Quinn would be a great trade candidate. He's got a very desirable contract if he puts up that production. The question that I have is his lead. I continue to hear that Quinn wants out of Chicago.
That was my thought as well.
Does he want out? I mean,
it certainly hasn't been vocal. Robert Quinn has been, I think, you know, the consummate professional on this team as a veteran leader.
He won the Piccolo Award. I was just gonna, and he was there.
Yes, and, you know, he seems to be setting the example. Now, everything that Lock and Fora laid out is correct in that, you know, they've already parted ways with Mac, and it doesn't seem likely that Akeem Hicks will be back. And so would a 32-year-old be excited about the team that is clearly in the midst of a rebuild? No, but that's the one thing is he there haven't been any reports that he wants out. We haven't heard that from anybody else.
Right. And then here's another worry that I have when it comes. I think it makes sense that, okay, they want a little bit of stability, and they've got this guy. What Poles wanted to do most, I think Poles' number one goal is, and this goes to the greater picture on have you been happy with Poles' offseason or not, and the many takes on whether and somebody in Twitch doesn't like that I use the word hot take rather than just opinions, and I'll explain that as we advance this conversation. But I think Poles' number one goal, and I sent you guys a tweet from Brad Spielberger a couple of days ago. We haven't had any time to talk about this stuff, was to get the Bears cap space healthy. That he wants to know going into next year when they can improve, that they're all the kicking the can down the road escalated to this year when they're going to stink anyway, instead of always worrying to pay the piper later like Ryan Pace would. Pace's always objective was overpay for everything, worry about the consequences down the road, whether it's selling draft picks, overpaying contracts, whatever the case may be. And I think Ryan Poles has done a really good job of cleaning up the cap situation. Now, here's a player in Robert Quinn who doesn't cost you a ton. It's not like, because I don't think that there's a lot of guaranteed money down the road left on the deal. My only worry, Meller, is this, is like an Allen Robinson situation. And we know what Robert Quinn was in his first year. If you bank on him continuing his 18.5 sack season, or let's say he could be on pace for an 11 sack season, which would still be very, very good.
Absolutely.
Like to set a record every year is asking the impossible. Let's say Robert Quinn can still be a 10 or 11 sack season. What I don't want to have happen is what happened his first year in Chicago. He's not getting to the quarterback. The team isn't doing well. And now you've taken a guy who has value this offseason, and he doesn't have much value at the trade deadline.
And that, I think, is a very rational concern, because football is a violent game. So not just the fact that you need to worry about him being productive or at least close to the level that he played at last season, but we see injuries all the time derail a guy who's having a good year. And that's certainly, you know, so he could even be out on the field or not on, you know, be on injured reserve. All this stuff comes into play where if there is a viable suitor right now who's willing to give up a decent asset, and you know, maybe that's where this debate really is at, is a decent asset, is a second round pick for Robert Quinn in next year's draft enough in Ryan Poles' eye to make the deal of your veteran leader, you know, the one veteran on the roster who you could point to and say, no, you know, because let's be honest, we know what they're doing. I think you just pointed out cleaning up the cap, you know, was something that they want to get everything right so that next year when the draft rolls around and they've got their assets back and they've got a cap that they can be flexible with, they find desirable guys in free agency that they can go after, and they're one more year removed from really observing and seeing what Justin Fields is as a player under their coaching staff, they're ready to go. That all makes sense. But if you go ahead and trade Robert Quinn, It's harder to get up in front of the press and continue to say, you know, we're not in a rebuild. We're not in full, you know.
Well, but they are, though. We know that.
Right?
I know.
What do we got here? This is breaking news.
Oh, boy.
Are you playing the breaking
Chicago's
news for this?
Home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Tyler, is this what I think it is?
Is it the White Sox being postponed tonight?
Is that really breaking news
worthy? Yeah, it's breaking news.
Is it founder breaking news worthy?
It really affects our programming today.
Scared the hell out of me.
We now have an extra 30 minutes because the White Sox and Yankees have been postponed, and it'll be made up in a day-night doubleheader on Sunday.
Oh, so wow. This Sunday.
That's on a day they're playing the Sunday night baseball game.
This game will be 1:30 pre, 2 o'clock first pitch.
Is this, you know why, is this the only, they don't have, do they have another trip to New York?
Right? No.
This is the only one.
No,
so
yeah,
that's why.
That's why
they want to knock it out. So
I had a good idea for this series, or for this game. I'll share that with you coming up. I think they should not do a day-night doubleheader on Sunday. I would like to reserve this game that's being postponed today. No White Sox-Yankees game. I would like to share an idea with the people coming up. And if how would you, let me just say this. Don't grade it. Are you satisfied with Ryan Poles' offseason? obviously, you're never going to fix all the problems at once. That's you, Randy. Is that you? That's you. Was that, well, was that you, throats. Tyler?
Oh, that was Merck. That was Merck. you have your mic on still, and you're coughing up a storm back here, and everything's getting off the rails here now.
And it's good to have Merck. This is something with Meller in the studio. Tyler's in his usual spot, except he's running the board. I really wanted Merck for the old days to be with us today. So, but are you satisfied with what Ryan Poles has done? And then what's the difference between a hot take and just an opinion? We'll get to all that. Meller's in for Waddle on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Short lead by Sebi. The pitch is hit in the air. Deep to right. That ball is gone. White Sox win. The Field of Dreams. Can you believe it?
It was meant to be. First game ever in Iowa.
That's the best game ever played in Iowa.
There you go. There's Len and DJ last year. This is the best baseball moment for the sport in a long, long time. It was just a pure baseball, a pure excitement. The ball was hopping out of the park. We did this whole thing about the corn causing, like, even more humidity, I think. Corn humidity or something. Or something we talked about. But so the Sox and Yankees are postponed today. We've discussed this. We've joked about it. Waddle's a Reds fan. I'm a Cubs fan, obviously. Hendricks is getting shellacked today. Again, giving up the home run ball again.
Kyle
Hendricks, yeah. And that game should be flexed out. We're all in agreement, like, to have such a great showcase for baseball with Yankees, White Sox last year. And then this year, to now move into two of the worst teams in baseball, in the Cubs and the Reds, it's absolutely awful. No one's going to care.
What the hell was Major League Baseball thinking? I know it was a year, but, like,
I think they were looking at the history, the historical teams of the Red Legs and the Cubs.
Sure. Yeah, I guess when you say it, that was the thought process behind it. And when did they announce it, though? It was less
than a year. They should include good teams.
Because, yeah,
this isn't like forecasting a college football schedule like 5 years in advance. You should pick a team like next year when they announce, this year when they announced next year's Field of Dreams game. They should focus on two good teams.
Because once the Cubs moved off and traded Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, you know, you knew that the appeal to the Cubs this season was always going to be minimal at best. And the way the Reds have been running their organization, you should have had an idea that there was a decent chance that they weren't going to be competitive and they're selling off all their players. So, yeah, if for a marquee matchup to try and grow your game in some way to put those two teams together, you know, the Cubs I can understand, but when it's the Cubs and the Reds and with the Cubs' current state where they're
like
at right
Cubs,
now.
Cubs, Cardinals, you can always get away with it. Like on Sunday night football, you could always put the Packers on. You know the Cards are usually going to be good. But so I think today's postponement, forget the day-night doubleheader on Sunday. Let's take the game, isolate it, and let's play it in whatever. Now, I know they probably are playing on that Field of Dreams day anyway.
Yeah, so it's...
But blow it all up.
August 11th, you've got the Reds and Cubs slated to play. The White Sox right now are scheduled to play the Royals that day.
See, they'll make another Sox-Royals doubleheader down the road. You know, they just played a doubleheader the other day. Let's get Sox-Yankees back on the cornfield. Let's rematch that thing. It was so good last year. We're flexing the game out of Cubs-Reds, and we're going to move White Sox-Yankees back in, the one that was supposed to be played in the Bronx tonight.
I'm in. I'll co-sign your idea. I'm all for it. The postponement today, let's make Field of Dreams 2, White Sox and Yankees. Yes. Let's do that.
Someone predicted it on Twitter that's what I was going to come back with. That would have been my idea. And he said that he liked the idea. All right, so I did a poll question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. You can vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. Are you satisfied with Ryan Poles' Bears offseason thus far? Yes or no? It's not graded. It's just, and it's not, it doesn't have to be over the top. Are you satisfied with what he's done, the work that he's done? We've had nearly 1,000 votes. How do you believe it's trending, or did you already vote and save?
I have not voted yet. I was saving my vote for right now, and I'm going to vote, and I understand everything he's doing, but if I just look at it right now, this offseason, I'm going to say no. I vote no, and I think probably 55 to 60% of the people are not happy with what he's done so far.
It's flipped, basically, from what you thought. It's 61.4% are satisfied.
Wow. I'm surprised.
And only 38.6% are not satisfied. Like, and this is the whole difference between the hot take and opinion. Like, I get, like, to me, if I had to vote for one, I'm in the middle, more towards sliding towards unsatisfied, because I believe, yes. And I saw my buddy Jeff Hughes from the Bears Den write about how they're trying to build Fields. They're redoing Fields. But in order to rebuild him, offensive linemen are vital. Like, a tackle is vital. Maybe he will. But the question is, thus far, maybe June 1st, they will sign a veteran tackle who could step in case Borum or Jenkins aren't good. But I don't want to have to call a 39-year-old off a fishing boat, you know, week three, because you have to panic.
And if that's even the idea, I don't want an aged veteran who's just kind of a stopgap for a season or two. I want you to build something and hopefully find some guys starting this year that can be the pillars of your offensive line moving forward. I need some guys who are there for the long term to protect Justin Fields. Jason Peters was always going to be a one-year stopgap, right? And so I'm hoping that what he sees with Borum and Jenkins, he loves, and that's why. And maybe at the end of the year, we'll feel better about that. Maybe, you know, the signing of Lucas Patrick.
I think he's a good, like, that's a good signing. It's another interior lineman.
Yeah, and so maybe with, you know, Luke Getsy knowing Lucas Patrick and the offense he wants to install, maybe that's why. Maybe they're a lot higher on the guys that are currently on the roster. But we brought this up the other day, Sylvie. If you would have told me, look, they're going to focus in on, it's going to be the receiving core more that they put a lot of their assets into, and because they like what they have on their line and they want to see that, I would have been okay. Or if you would have flipped it and said, you know what, they won't be investing a lot in the receivers, but they're really going to hone in on the offensive line. But to me, it seems like whatever assets they had have been invested in the defense, and everything with the receiving core and the line, it's kind of let's throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, we're gonna find some with quantity rather than going after a quality free agent. Matt in Streamwood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Sylvie. Hey, Miller. Thanks for taking my phone call. Sylvie, I want to respond. Like, the first thing Ryan Poles did is that he addressed Kendall Vildor was the weakest link on that team last year by far, not Justin Fields, and that needed to be addressed. And then right behind him was Eddie Jackson. So that secondary was definitely needed to be addressed before the wide receivers in that room. And he did tell Cap'n before the draft, and when he talked to Cap'n Jay Hood a couple weeks ago, he said that he did sit down with Justin and said, which wide receivers did you want? And he named Velus Jones. He understood he wanted Olave, but we didn't have enough draft capital to trade up for that, and he knew he would be gone. But he did sit down with Justin Fields, which is far more than Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy ever did with any of their quarterbacks or wide receivers.
Yeah, Matt Nagy was missing meetings, wasn't he? With
scheduling meetings and not showing
up. Right, for Allen Robinson and also Mitch Trubisky. Yeah, I am giving him, I'm not, here's the thing, and I could explain it more at three. I'm not getting dug in. Because yeah. I feel like when you get dug in on something, then all of a sudden you want your opinion to be right.
Yes.
And then I'm going to let this play out, and I'm not going to dig in on either side of this thing, because I want him to succeed. I want the Bears to succeed, and I'm willing to see if Ryan Poles can get it right.
And Ryan Poles hasn't burned us yet like Ryan Pace did.
Right, you got to start fresh, and I get, like, there's a couple of lines of thinking. We'll get into it. Are you satisfied with what they've done? 312-332-3776. A-Rob also spoke about his new fit. Was he taking shots at his old coach? We'll get to that next.